Well, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word. Join me once again in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, as we continue walking our way through this series on the Ten Commandments. We find ourselves this morning looking at commandment number 8 together. The message is entitled, True Treasure. And I want you to look at an image you're going to see on the screen come up this morning. October the 3rd, 1936, the edition of the Saturday Evening Post had this painting by Norman Rockwell. It was called Tipping the Scales. I don't know if you can see that well or not. But if you look, you have a lady who is seeking to buy, it looks like probably a chicken there, from the butcher. Notice each of their finger. Do you see that? She's attempting to push up on the scale. He's attempting to push down on the scale. Each of them are trying to steal from the other. This morning, the commandment we're looking at is do not steal. And so as we prepare to look at that, I want to read for us this morning the text once again, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 21, and then we'll walk back through it together, zooming in this morning on verse 15, you shall not steal. This is God's word. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. As you're taking notes this morning, I want to encourage you to write down this main idea. It'll frame our time together as we zoom in this morning on verse 15. It's this truth: everything we possess is owned by God. and entrusted to us to steward for His glory. Everything you and I possess is first and foremost owned by God. And He has entrusted it to us to steward, to manage well for His glory. Before we dive in this morning to look at this command, you shall not steal, I want to just remind us of why we are walking through this series on the Ten Commandments. Maybe you're new to North River, that's what you're thinking. Why the Ten Commandments? That doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but here's what we've said every week about this series and about the Ten Commandments, why God gave them to His people. First and foremost, God gave them these commands to reveal His character. Remember that the Ten Commandments point to the reality that God is holy, that God is righteous, that God's standard is absolute perfection because God, in His very nature, is perfect. That reminds us of the second truth, is that the Ten Commandments expose our sinfulness because we're able to see the standard that God has set, and we look at our own lives and realize that we do not measure up to the standard that God has set before us. Paul says about the law of God that it functions like a mirror to show us what is wrong with ourselves. And what's wrong is that we are sinners desperately in need of a Savior. Without Jesus, we do not measure up to the standard that God has set. Leads us to number three, the Ten Commandments should drive us to Jesus. They should help us see that our only hope is the one who perfectly kept the law of God on our behalf. That is Jesus, the very second person of the Trinity, who stepped foot out of heaven and came to this earth and lived a perfect, sinless life on our behalf. The law of God He kept perfectly during His time on this earth. And He willingly goes to the cross to lay His life down for you and for me. So that if we will repent, God's word tells us, that is, turn from the path that we are on, and we will trust Jesus and Him alone, we can be saved from our sins, brought in to the family of God. Which leads us to number four. The Ten Commandments, God's law, provides for us a guide to righteousness. It tells us that, what does it look like to love God and to love people? It looks like what God has laid out for us here. Jesus, when asked, what is the greatest commandment, made very clear, it is to love God with every aspect of your being. We talked about that in Commandments 1 through 4. And then it is to love your neighbor as yourself, to love others, which we've talked about so far in the last six commands. And so for us, as we get ready to dive in this morning to this next command, we're reminded of why God gave us these commands in the first place. So let's zoom in. Verse 15 this morning. Let's talk about this command in its immediate context here in Exodus chapter 20. Remember that all of these commands are grounded in verse 2. The Lord reminds His people, I am the Lord your God, and I have delivered you out of bondage in Egypt. Talks to them about His identity, reminds them of His relationship with them, and that He has rescued them from bondage for us. If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, the same is true for you, and the same is true for me as well. And then we see this eighth command in verse 15, you shall not steal. You shall not steal. Now, some of you have already checked out this morning because you think this doesn't apply to me. I'm not a thief. Hold your horses this morning. All right? What do we mean by stealing? I think that's important. What is God, as He gives this command to His people, what is He communicating to them? Well, to steal is to take something that does not belong to you. In fact, when this word is translated from the Hebrew, this is what it literally means, to carry something away by stealth. So think about that. Put that in your mind. When we talk about stealing, it is taking something that doesn't belong to you. It is carrying something away by stealth, which reminds us that when we think about property rights, when we think about ownership, which is fundamental to our governing laws in the country in which we live, property rights, recognize that that was given to God's people here in this command. It makes the assumption that you will have possessions and that you should not steal possessions that someone else has. So think about this. Remember that for God's people, He is preparing them to enter into the promised land that He is giving to them. Remember that as He's preparing them to enter into that, He gives them these commands. He says, if you want to flourish as human beings in this place that I am giving to you, here's what you need to understand about life. First and foremost, we are to worship the Lord and Him alone. Those were the first four commandments. Then He begins to walk them through of obeying your parents. Begins to walk them through of the next command, saying for them, if you want to flourish, you have to recognize and understand that a just society is governed by laws, and those laws are important. You are not to murder other people. You are not to commit adultery. The family is vital in this new society that you are going into, and for them, remember, coming out of slavery in Egypt where they had no possessions of their own, now they are going to have things. They are going to possess livestock. They're going to have homes. Those things are going to be provided by the Lord for them. And He says to them, you are not, as you go into this land, to steal from others. Whether that is within your own society or even those that are outside as well. And in fact, we know this. Do you want someone to come in and steal your things? You're like, of course not. And He says to them, in a just, lawful society, you have the right to possess the things that you have and the guarantee that no one will come in and confiscate or take those things. So as we think about this command, let's take it and let's turn it in a positive sense from you shall not steal to recognize what the Lord is saying to His people here. It's this, trust in the Lord. He has given or is able to give you everything you truly need. Recognize that as the Lord is getting ready to send His people into this land, He's saying to them, trust me. Trust me to provide to you what you truly need. Don't look at this as an opportunity to go in and to steal from others so that you can benefit yourself. Recognize that I am the great provider and I will give you everything that you need. Now notice, the Lord doesn't say, I'm going to give you everything you want. But the Lord does give us what we need. For the Lord's people, He is reminding them of this truth as He gets ready to send them into the promised land. Let's zoom out this morning. Let's talk about this command as we look across Scripture. Let's ask a few questions this morning as we seek to understand better. What does God's Word say about you shall not steal, or trusting in Him that He is providing everything that we truly need? Well, let's begin by asking this first question. What is the foundation for this command? And you'll notice that on the screen, Psalm chapter 24, verses 1 through 2. I'd encourage you simply to spend some time this week reflecting on the truths in this verse. But let me read this for you. This is what God's Word says. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all those who dwell therein. Verse 2 tells us why the earth is the Lord's and everything that it contains is Him. It tells us because He created it. God created everything that exists. Therefore, everything that exists is His. The foundation of this command, you shall not steal, is the recognition that everything that exists, first and foremost, is God's. So let me ask you, this may be a trick question for you this morning. Who owns Amazon? You're thinking, Jeff Bezos. Wrong. God owns Amazon. Who owns Tesla? It's not Elon Musk or the shareholders. God owns it. Because listen, one day each of them will die, and guess what? Shares of Amazon don't go to the cemetery with you. It doesn't. You never see a U-Haul pulled behind a hearse because you can't take it with you. Which reminds us, all of us, that ultimately it is God's. That's what this command is grounded in. So let's ask this question. Secondly, how does this function? So when Scripture takes this into account, that God ultimately owns everything and that He entrusts to us the things that He has given to us to be stewarded on His behalf, how do we understand this as we look across Scripture? Well, we mentioned first that God does give things to people. God entrusts these things that He owns ultimately to people. And so we have personal property. God's word is clear about this. In fact, if you look at Exodus chapter 22, moving forward, you'll realize that the Lord speaks very clearly about this issue of someone who were to go in and to steal an ox from someone or to steal a sheep from someone. The Lord says, you are not to do that. It would be sin to go in and to take something that is someone else's. And in fact, the penalty of that by the Lord is that you will repay and some if you steal from someone else. In fact, if you were to steal an ox, the Lord says there in Exodus chapter 22, those first verses there, that you would have to give five in replacement for the one. If you were to steal a sheep, you would have to give four in replacement of the one. If someone were to enter into your house and to break in, Exodus chapter 22 says that is a thief, and we talked about this when we talked about murder, that you could, in that situation, you could defend your rights, your property, by taking that person's life. Moving forward, we see in Joshua chapter 7 this reminder of the Lord owning it all, because He says to His children as they go in to take over this promised land that there is a part of all of the spoils that will be devoted to Him and to Him alone. And yet in Joshua we see that Achan instead decides he's going to take a little bit for himself. And that God's people experience God's judgment as a result of that. The Lord says, that's mine, that's not yours. We see it moving forward in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 28. This reminder once again that there are possessions that are not ours, and we are not allowed to go in and to take someone else's possessions because God has entrusted it to them and not to us. Then you look at 1 Kings chapter 21. This is a situation where King Ahab goes in and steals a vineyard from Naboth, and the Lord exercises judgment against the king as a result of that. So God's word has very clear picture that God has entrusted things to us, and we have the right not to have those things stolen, and to steal that would be sin. As we keep moving, what we realize as well, this extends to stealing mankind or man-stealing. This would be for slavery purposes. We see this in Exodus chapter 21, verse 16, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, this reminder that it is sinful to go in and to take captive someone else and to put them into slavery. So we see that in God's word. We see as well this idea of charging excessive interest would be stealing as well. To which someone should probably call the credit card companies this morning. just kind of let them know, 22% interest is excessive. But in fact, when you look at God's people, God says that they are to lend within their own camp, that they are to lend to fellow Jews and not charge interest at all. But as they lend to the nations that are around them, the Lord says you're to be a blessing to them. You're not to charge excessive interest to them. Moving forward, you realize as well that God's word speaks about fraud in this same command. That when we think about stealing, it extends not just to going to someone's house and taking something that doesn't belong to you, but it also extends to fraud, fraudulent activity, whether that's lying on your taxes. Uh-oh, there he went. Whether that's taking out a loan without any intention whatsoever of paying it. Let's just be honest, the federal government's in that boat right now, right? But in fact, when you look, you realize that God's word is very clear that to deal fraudulently is to steal from someone else. In fact, Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, known as the tax collector. What you realize is that tax collectors at that part were part of the government, and they would not only take the taxes, they would charge extra on top of that. We see this with Zacchaeus, another one who's radically transformed by Jesus, and in fact, he goes and gives back plus some to those that he has taken from fraudulently. Think about that. There are names that come into our minds when we think about this. Enron, Bernie Madoff, you. You say, hang on, I that's not what I do. I've not defrauded anyone. Let me just ask, have you ever stolen anything from your employer? You're like, hang on, let's push this a little bit further. Have you ever not been entirely truthful with how many hours that you worked and got paid for something that you actually didn't do? Fraudulently declaring how much you've worked. Or you're getting paid and you're not actually doing what you're supposed to be doing. Think about that. All of that would fall within this category of fraud. Let's ask another question this morning. What about the heart? So we see what God's word says, but I think it's important for us to recognize this is not just an actions problem. This is ultimately stealing is a heart problem. Which means for us, we have to understand two important ideas. One of those is stewardship, and the other is generosity. Stewardship. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through verse 30. I'd encourage you to spend some time thinking about this coming week. But what we see in that is the Lord telling a parable of entrusting talents to people. Talents was a measure of money. He says to them, you are to go out and you are to do something with that. You're to earn on that. I'm in giving you this and you are to use it for ultimately to gain more as a result of it. And the same thing is true for you and the same thing is true for me. God's word is clear for us. God has entrusted to each of us not only the possessions that we have, the money that we have, the talents and skills that we have, but the time that he has given to us as well on this earth. And God says to all of us, use this for my glory. Use the talents, use the money, use the possessions, use the skills, use the time that I have entrusted to you as a good steward. That is to manage it well. Which is the reason I said to you at the beginning, as we think about this during the announcement time, Financial Peace University, I just encourage you, if you think about your financial situation right now, you say, listen, Pastor, if I'm honest, I don't do a very good job of that. If that's where you sit, let us help equip you to handle what God has given you the right way, according to His Word. One of the best things that for Janie and I, when we were first married, we left our hometown, moved to Wake Forest, North Carolina, I went to seminary up there, and we jumped in right off the bat at a church. And they offered at the church a financial management class. Here's how to handle money God's way. And here's what was amazing. We jumped into that class, and there were people, we were in our early 20s at that point. There were people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s in the class. And they're all looking at us going, please do what this class tells you to do so that you don't end up at 60 trying to figure out how to fix Alpo and Lovett, right? Figure it out on the front end. Learn how on the front end to manage what God has entrusted to you. Not only that, as we think about this being a heart issue, generosity, not only stewardship, but generosity comes into play as well. You'll see those passages of Scripture, Malachi chapter 3, Matthew chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I just want you to know that God's intent for all of us as His children is to be generous. God has been generous to us, and He calls us to be generous as well. That is, to give back to Him, but to also give to others as a part of that as well. In fact, notice this quote by Kent Hughes. It's one of my favorites. This is what he said, "Every time I give, I declare that money does not control me. Perpetual generosity is a perpetual deification of money." To deify something is to make that something God. And so every time we give, every time we are generous with what God has entrusted to us, whether that's our money, whether that's our time, whether that's our talents, what we realize is that that says something about what's going on in our heart. You may have come in this morning, you're thinking, okay, there he goes. He's talking about money at church. People often, when that happens, get a bad taste in their mouth. And here's the problem with that. Jesus talked about money more than anything else that he talked about. And the reason is because money often has a hold of our hearts. It is God in many of our lives. The reason that we're not generous is because money has a control of our heart. The reason that we don't give is because money is God in our life. And the reality is, God says that for us not to give is actually, in fact, stealing from Him. To not be generous, the Lord says, is to not understand at the heart what the gospel message is all about. And so I want to challenge you. Be generous with what God has entrusted to you. Here's the next question. What is the good news? As we think about do not steal, what we're reminded of in Isaiah 53, Matthew 27, Luke 23, is that Jesus Christ hung on a cross between, God's word tells us, guess what? Two thieves. I don't think that's by accident. In fact, Jesus was numbered, God's word tells us, with the transgressors, with the thieves. Jesus took our sin upon himself on the cross and laid his life down for us who are thieves, who are sinners. This is good news for us. So let's zoom out once again. Let's think about this command in the contemporary moment in which we live. You shall not steal. How do we understand this? How do we put this into practice? We should view everything we have in light of two realities. As a follower of Jesus, if you claim to be following Jesus, you should view everything that you have in light of two realities. One, God owns it all. God owns everything that you, quote unquote, own. And number two, he has entrusted it to us to manage for his glory. Everything you have and everything that I have, God has entrusted to us and says to us, take what I've given you and use it for my glory. Use it to make much of me. Certainly, as part of that, God's word teaches that we are to enjoy what he's given to us, that we are to save and invest what he has given to us, but also that we are to be generous with what he has given to us. It's interesting. I had a friend one day. We were having a conversation about money. We were having a conversation about wealth, and I was talking to him about what God's word says, and he said to me, it was a very perceptive moment for him. He said, you know what, Michael? He said, God's not going to give me a lot. I was like, well, that's an interesting perspective to take. I said, why would you say that? He said, because my hand's like this all the time. If I get a little bit of something, I grab a hold of it really tightly. So God doesn't have the ability to put anything more back in there. And I thought about that, and I thought for us, as we think about what it looks like to give generously, to live in open-handed generosity before the Lord with what he has entrusted to us. Here's some questions I want you to consider this week. As you seek to trust in God's provision in your life, as you seek to steward what he has given to you well, here's question number one. Do I believe God owns it all? If that is the foundation of this command, you shall not steal, that has to be where we begin in our heart. Do we believe that everything that we have, God owns it all? And then ask yourself the question, what is the danger when I forget this truth? What is the danger when you begin to believe that everything you have is actually yours? And ultimately not owned by God. How does that change the way you approach what you have? How does that change the way you approach your time or your talent or your treasure? Question number two, are there areas in my life where I am stealing? Areas in your life where you are not being truthful about the time that you're working. April 15th is coming. Not being truthful about your taxes. And if so, if that's what's going on, if the Lord is pressing in through his Holy Spirit in your life on that, what steps do you need to take to confess that sin and to right that wrong? Here's question number three. Am I being a good steward of all that God has given me? Are you stewarding well everything that God has entrusted to you? In fact, the Lord tells us in his word that those who steward well, God often gives more so that they can steward for him. And here's the follow-up to that. Am I living in open-handed generosity? Only you can answer this question. Are you living with a fist closed? Or with a hand open before the Lord, willing to give and to give generously. Here's question number four. What is one practical way that I can demonstrate my trust in God's provision and be a good steward of what he has given me? One practical way that you can demonstrate trust in what God has given to you and steward it well for his glory. I want to ask you to bow your heads as our worship team comes. Maybe you're here this morning, and for you, as we've talked about. Why we're walking through this series, you've realized that as you look at the law of God, you realize you don't measure up. And you currently don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and for you, that's the step that you need to take this week. We'd love to help you take that step in just a little bit. Pastors will be down front. Come and grab one of our hands and just say, I need to take that step of trusting in Jesus. Maybe you're a follower of Jesus already, but the truth is the Lord has pinpointed in your heart this morning an area in your life where you are stealing. And there's sin that needs to be confessed today. Maybe the Lord has challenged you through His Word about what it looks like to steward what He has given you well for His glory. Maybe the Lord is pressing on your heart what it looks like to be generous and to give. Father, we ask this morning you would work in our hearts and our lives in a way that only you, through the power of your Spirit, can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, join us as we sing this morning? Our altar's open. Our pastors are down front.